John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 8 of John's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7, and 8 of the Gospel of John are a dialogue. In fact, sometimes the dialogue gets very, very heated. There are times when there are words thrown from one to the next that one can hardly appreciate what is being taught because of the ugliness that sometimes would come from the mouth of those who were dialoguing with our Lord. For example, at one point of this conversation, Jesus was told that he was an illegitimate child. "We are not born of fornication," said the Pharisees and the Sadducees to him. And they were debating concerning the deity of Christ, debating whether he was truly a man sent from God or one who was possessed of a demon. They were debating as to whether he was authentic in his claims. And as a result of this, Jesus spoke to them in John 8 in response, John 8 and verse 42. In fact, one of the things that's interesting, Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And they said, "We have never been a slave to anybody. So how can you tell us about being free?" Jesus explained to them what was meant by being free. And then they said, "We have Abraham as our father." Every so often, they will come into my home and perhaps into yours as well. A piece of literature which says, "We have found the crest for your family. You can trace your family tree by this. It will cost you $25.49 or however much it costs. And you're able to go back, and this is the crest for your family." And I always wonder about mine. Thurton, and this is, "We have found it. There are only 800 of you in the world. And here is your crest. And if you want to know more about this, this is what you have to do." Well, Jesus was speaking to the people of his day, and he said there is an identity for the family of God. There is a crest which everyone who is a part of the family of God wears or should wear. It comes, if you please, immediately, progressively, and ultimately. Listen to what Jesus said in response to those who thought that any religious connection with Abraham was sufficient for them to be identified with the family of God. But Jesus said, no, there is a mark. There is an identity. There is a badge which says, who can be identified? This is not something the church gives. This is not something the pastor gives. This is something that God gives. Verse 42 of John chapter 8. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not come in my own initiative, but he sent me." If God were your father, you would love me. Briefly, friends, consider with me something about the path into the family of God. How does one become a part of a human family? Now, I must be very careful. We were studying this morning in my class about the giving birth and what can be done today. But biblically, how does one become a part of a family? One becomes a part of a family by being born of a father and a mother who committed to each other in love and commitment as husband and wife become a part of that unit. John, in speaking concerning how you and I enter into the family of God, tells us something about where it started, where it began. And it begins for you and for me way back into eternity, because the Bible tells us that long before you and I were even born physically, there existed in God something that is absolutely fantastic, and it can be said only of God. God is love. It can only be said of God. The way in which John wants us to understand, he tells us that God has had an affection or has affection for us. If you want to turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 2, Paul gives us a great, great example of this, and I will read it to save time. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." What do I mean? I mean, you tell the ordinary person today, you tell the Christian, God loves you. All right, so he loves me. God loves you. All right, he loves me. But my friends, if you understand what God's love is like, listen, God's love is not a need love. God didn't need you, he didn't need me. God's love is a gift love. It is a love that belongs to him, and that love is so real and so fantastic in God that he chooses. It is a willed love. He wills to love us. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, he loved us. Do you get it? Do you not realize, my friends, that even within the human family, there are times when we don't feel like loving those we should love. There are times when we get so annoyed at our mates, at our children. We get so annoyed at things around us. We become ugly. And our love depends upon response. Love can be curtailed in the human heart by negative experiences that it goes through. But it is not so with the love of God. God wills to love us because he takes delight in his own love. God is never pleased with the human love with which you and I are born, because that love has within it self. That human love has within it a because. Human love has within it something that says, this is only good until. It expires until. But God takes delight in his own love. That is, when God sees his own love expressed, experienced, it brings pleasure to God. And only as you and I understand, my friends, that God loved us and that his love was not a need love, it is his pleasure to love us, does God's love for us make sense. And when we come to the table, we are saying that we are celebrating the affection of God, which goes beyond time into eternity, and his love is there for his world as he created it. And we are to experience and celebrate God's love, because when God's love brings us into relationship with God, it brings pleasure to God. The affection of God, it goes beyond time. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. God speaks about his mercies, his loving kindness, and his love. And he says, in these things I take delight. Because of the goodness of so many of you, my wife is in Oregon right now with her father and mother, both being very ill. And so last night when she got settled in, she called. And I don't mind telling you, it was hard for me to go to bed last night. I missed my wife. I missed the one who loves me. When she called and we said goodbye, there was a sense of pleasure that I spoke to the one across the airwaves and we connected by the words of expression of love for each other. Multiply that by infinity, friends. And when I say that God loves you, it should stir something in you, it should stir something in me, because no one can love us as God loves us. It is a willed love. He wills to love us. There is no virtue in you or in me. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet saints, sinners, Christ died for us. That's the table. The celebration of a willed love, not a need love. Secondly, the path to the family of God is through adoption by God. Adoption by God. I remember hearing the story somewhere of a little boy who was arguing with his adopted brother. And he was angry at him at the time and said to him, "Yeah, my parents adopted you." And he said, "Yeah, that was their choice." Remember reading of a lady in Edmonton, Alberta, was having a heated argument with his daughter, with her daughter. And she said, "I didn't ask you to be born, you know." And she said, "I know. Chances are if you did, the answer would have been no." What is adoption? Adoption, my friends, biblically, is God bringing us into a position where we become heirs with Christ, that is, the benefits of God in his relationship to his son becomes the benefit for you and me in our relationship to him. So as God loves his son, in that way, he loves me. The love of God for his son is something unique, friends, that has never been known. And the only way it can be seen, the only way it can be experienced, is when Christians love one another, because God has adopted them and has positioned them in the position where they can experience the benefits of being related to the family of God. Adoption is a position. It is a privilege. It is a unique relationship that one enjoys with the Almighty. With the Almighty. My little boy ran to me this morning and said that somebody gave him a picture of a basketball player. This picture was actually signed by this basketball player, and he is excited. I mean, I could hardly keep him down. He wanted me to see it. Look at what I don't even know the guy's name. Friends, can you look to the person next to you or behind you, in front of you, and whisper to them, "God loves me. I belong to his family. I'm an heir. He has put me in a position to enjoy all the benefits, everything that he has given to his son, he has made available to me. Because he has adopted me." The pathway is the affection of God. The pathway is the adoption by God. Let me quickly go to my second point, the proofs of belonging to God's family. What is the proof? And here is our text. The proof that I belong to God, in spite of all that I've said before, and this is not contradictory, the proof that I belong to God, the proof that you belong to God, is not first our affection for one another. The proof that you belong to God and the proof that I belong to God is that you and I can talk about a deep affection for the Son of God. This is what Jesus said. "If God were your Father, then you would love me," said he. "You would have affection for me. You would know what it is to truly feel a passion for me, a deep commitment to me. You would get excited about me if God were your father." Who wouldn't be excited if Wayne Gretzky was their father? To be able to identify with someone who could stop all of North America because he's retiring. Who wouldn't be excited about that? To say, "He's my dad." But my friends, a greater than Wayne Gretzky is here. It is the one who has given him what he has. The one who is making him who he is. The one who has given him breath and life and the agility that he experiences and exercises. Jesus said, "If God were your Father," because we belong to the same Father. Jesus Christ is precious to you as he is to me, as he is to me, as he is to you. And the thing that brings us together, the thing that breaks down every barrier between us, is simply this: God is my Father, Jesus is my brother. What a privilege. And we're coming to the table this morning, and we're going to take the cup, And we're going to take the bread. And as we eat it, and as we drink it, we're going to say to angels, God is my Father. We're going to say to one another, God is my Father. And then when we take the cup, the blood that washed you has washed me. You are my brother. You are my sister. This is, my friends, the proof of belonging to God. That's the badge. That's the crest. The crest of the family of God is a love for Jesus Christ that burst out into a love for one another. Affection for God's Son. C.S. Lewis said of affection, affection finds its root in parenthood. Only a mother, I would dare say not even a father, the best of fathers, only a mother knows what it is to have affection for a child. It is a relationship of warm, comfortable, and satisfaction of living together. It is real. It is healthy. It is vibrant. It is authentic. Christians are known by his or her love for Jesus Christ. It is so-called affection because it feels for the one that it loves. And we sing it sometimes. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Do we feel it? I'm not asking you to close your eyes. I was listening to the TV this morning and someone was leading the song and says, close your eyes. No, you don't have to close your eyes. If you want, you may. But closing your eyes won't make it a reality. It is a reality. And so we give thanks for it. The second proof is not only our affection for God's Son, but our allegiance to God's Son. Our allegiance to God's Son. Allegiance means to have a passion for in order to follow. It is wanting to do what he always did, pleasing his Father. Because his love for his Father is his love in us. And that love made him please his Father. His Father was pleased with him. And so when that love is in you and when that love is in me, it gives us a sense, my friends, of dedication. It gives us a sense, if you please, of passion. It makes me want to shout from the housetop that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Passion means dedication. It means commitment. And I was thinking of that as I read the latest issue of Time magazine. During the recent shooting in Littleton, Colorado, the young lady was asked, do you believe in God? Time magazine said she knew the safe answer. She knew the safe answer. The safe answer would have been, with a gun to her head, no, I don't. But she did. She believed in God. She believed in Christ. She had recently dedicated her life to Christ. Do you believe there is a God? And she, perhaps in that moment, God gave her the courage, the ability to say yes, for grace is never given to us before it is needed in times like these. And she needed dying grace, and God, not having given us the spirit of cowardice, gave her the courage to say, I believe in God. And with a sense of insanity, he pulled the trigger and ended her life, but got her to eternity a lot quicker than otherwise. This is what dedication is. This is what it means to have an allegiance to Jesus Christ. Not many of us will be threatened, my friends, with our lives for loving Jesus Christ. But you know what St. Paul said? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give and live your lives as a living sacrifice, not a dead one. God is not asking most of us to die for our love for him. He's asking us to live it out, to share it, to let it overflow. Let it touch our homes. Let it touch our businesses. Let it touch our neighborhood. Let it touch, my friends, not only at home, but the farthest ends of the earth. For God's love came from heaven into your heart and mine, And he wants that love to be spread the world over. I'm going to ask you as we come to the communion table to bow your heads with me. We're coming to the table to say thanks to God for loving us. Love divine, all loves excelling. Joy of heaven to earth, come down. I want you to sing with me, "Oh, how I love Jesus." A cappella, everyone, if you are able to say it before we come to the table, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you take the bread and the cup, you will declare that you belong to Him. Not by taking it, but because you do belong to Him. You have trusted Him. Prior to now, you're coming to celebrate it. Oh, how I love Jesus.